This is the Mobile Tech Podcast, brought to you by worldpodcasts.com. Now here's your host, Tank Girl, Miriam Joie.
Brought to you by Audible. Stay tuned for a special offer at the end of the show. Hi, and welcome to the Mobile Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Miriam Joie. Today is Thursday, May 19th, 2022. And my guest is the lovely Christian DeLuper of BGR. Hi, Christian. How are you?
Good, Miriam. How are you?
I'm great. So good. I wanted to have you on because you have a DJI Mini 3 Pro, Mini Pro 3. What is it?
Mini 3 Pro.
Mini 3 Pro.
It's confusing. They're all confusing these days.
Mostly, I wanted to have you on because there's some phone news and we should go through it. So let's start with Vivo, because I think that's kind of like the coolest, one of the coolest. I mean, every time I get an X Series Vivo in my hands, I've got the 60 Pro Plus and the 70 Pro. They're so good. They're so good at imaging. I don't know if you had a chance to play with one.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play with one yet. Do you have the X80 Pro yet?
No, so I'm still waiting for that. But hopefully it'll come soon. I don't know when. Yeah.
It looks like a great device. I'm curious what you think about the over, like the huge camera module on the back. I kind of like the design. I don't mind the camera module, and I really like all the colors that it comes in.
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of a different design for them. I mean, they've done pretty big camera modules before, so that's not completely unusual. Yeah. But they're definitely trying to find their kind of like personality, in the same way as Xiaomi last year with the Mi 11 Ultra really kind of did that kind of really obvious camera pod thing. But what I like about Vivo is, you know, they're partnering with Zeiss with these lenses, they're T-Star coded. They kind of keep refining the approach. So I don't know if you know the history of the X series, but I didn't really keep track until the X50. And the X50 Pro was the first to introduce the gimbal. So instead of OIS, they have a full-on gimbal where the entire sensor and lens can move. And they first did that, I think it was on the main camera or the ultra-wide, one of the two. And then they switched it over to the other one for the X60 series. And then I think the X70 series, they switched it again. And then depends on whether you got the Pro or the non-Pro. And then there was a Pro Plus model for the X70 series, which I never got. Sure. And then the X80, so far we only have a Pro. We don't have a Pro Plus. But they've put it on the portrait lens. So the X series has always had at least four cameras. There's always been a really massive main sensor for low light gathering.
Yeah.
There's always been a really quality ultra wide. And one of those two would have the gimbal on it. And then they would have a 2X portrait lens that was generally not stabilized, but really optimized for portrait photography. Like, you know, exactly that perfect 50 millimeter equivalent, 35 millimeter your shot. So you can take beautiful photos of people. And then they have always had some sort of periscope telephoto, like usually a 5X small sensor, usually like an 8 megapixel or something. And that's kind of, this is kind of the same. And then they've added depth sensors and whatever to that. But this year they put the gimbal on the 2X portrait lens for whatever reason.
So this is the first year they've done that.
Yeah, the gimbal on the portrait. Okay. But the rest of it looks pretty similar. If you want to bring up GSM Marina's database right now, we can look together.
The headline feature seems to me that it's the huge fingerprint sensor in this one, because they've got the so-called 3D Sonic Max sensor from Qualcomm. So, you know, that makes it a lot easier to unlock your phone without having to kind of place it in the perfect spot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's definitely something beyond the camera that we should talk about. That and, you know, the fact that it's an incredibly fully featured, you know, flagship with all the trimmings and like crazy charging speeds and whatever. But if you bring up the specs, you can compare like the history, comparing the X70 versus the X60 versus the... And it's kind of fascinating how they're kind of evolving these products.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now real quick at the 60 versus the 70 because I kind of get lost with it. It's like, okay, here we go.
It's a lot.
And they're every 4 months or so they launch these. Like last year alone, they did the X60 and X70. So if you look right now, the cameras are very interesting. So, okay, like this is how serious these guys are. 50 megapixel f over 1.6 on the main sensor of the 80. And I bet you it's a 1/1/3 sensor. It's probably like that Samsung, the really big one they've had for a while on their camera, because that's the same sensor they had last year on the 70 Pro Plus and the year before that on this on the 60 Pro Plus. Then they have that same 8-megapixel periscope 5X with OIS. And then they have put the gimbal this time. Okay, so last time the gimbal was on, I want to say, it was on the ultra-wide, which was 40 megapixel on the 70. And it was on the ultra-wide on the 60, also 48 megapixel. So this time, it's the same 48 megapixel ultra-wide, but with no gimbal. And so they put the gimbal on the 2X zoom lens, which is strangely only a 12 megapixel sensor, but hey.
So on the X70 Pro, the gimbal was on the main sensor, the 50 megapixel main sensor.
On the 70 Pro, I'm looking at 70 Pro Plus.
Got it.
Because they didn't do a Pro Plus yet. So we're kind of all worried what's going to happen when they do the 80 Pro Plus right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. But the bottom line is, as you can see, that they haven't really been skipping. What's exciting about the 70 and the 80 series is that they finally introduced wireless charging. Until the 60 included, where even if you went all the way to the highest end of the 60 series, you didn't have wireless charging. And now they went to 50 watt last year, and then they're 50 watt again this year. But then they added 80 watt on the wired fast charging.
Yeah.
And you know what's interesting? This is BBK Group, right? And you know how their chargers are pretty much interchangeable between Realme, Oppo, OnePlus. Yeah. Vivo uses their own stuff. So it's actually weird, because if you pulled out a Vivo charger, you can't charge another BBK Group phone, only a Vivo phone. It's like, what?
Weird slash annoying and frustrating. Why?
I don't get it. Anyway, so that's kind of what I'm the takeaway. But you're right. This is, I think, not the first, but one of the first that has that massive ultrasonic that takes up something like, I don't know, 2 by 2 inches. So you really can't miss. You're just tapping somewhere on the screen and you get your fingerprint done.
If you miss, that's kind of down to user error if you're missing that kind of a sensor.
Yeah, and I want to point out something for my readers here, because this is something we see every time with BBK Group phones. Max recording on the front camera is finally at 4K 30 because they seem to limit on the Oppos and the OnePluses and the Realmes, they seem to be limited to 1080p 30, which is so frustrating, right? When you see like even the cheapest iPhone SE has 4K video on the front up to 60, right? Yeah.
There's no excuse for a phone in this price range to still be limited to 1080p 30 video.
No. It's $1,000 roughly, folks. As it's always been. And honestly, if you look at what you're getting a lot for that money.
Yeah. So for this generation, they've switched to Qualcomm what was the X70 Pro Plus? Was that a Qualcomm
chip in
that
phone? So that was an 888 Plus, and the 60 Pro Plus was an 888, because they both came out last year. And then the X80 Pro is either a Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 or MediaTek Dimensity 9000, depending on where you bought it. The Chinese model. Kind of what the same thing BBK did with the Find X5 Pro, where they have different, models and different markets. Yeah.
They're going to get me every time with the naming scheme on these phones.
Man, like, it's this Pro Plus madness has got to end.
Just wait till there's a Pro Plus Max.
Yeah. Well, there's rumors of a OnePlus 10 Pro Plus, essentially a Pro. They're going to call it a 10 Ultra, I think is what they're going to call it. But I feel like we're going to get another OnePlus phone this year, hopefully with a periscope telephoto. And I'm looking forward to that. There's been strong rumors of it.
I'm okay with them calling it Ultra, because, that doesn't mix all the Pro Plus, Max, all those kinds of different things. Or if they call it the Pro Ultra, that'd be too much.
Yeah. And so, this interesting about this gimbal stuff is it actually works really well. But while it works really well, it doesn't quite deliver the kind of smoother video that you would expect to get. It's definitely smooth, but we've achieved the same results with electronic stabilization on other phones. And so I'm still not sure why Vivo keeps doing it. I think it's really cool from a technology point of view, like mechanically, electronically, to have an entire gimbal in a phone.
Yeah.
But I feel like it really only benefits the video portion. And we've seen, honestly, equivalent or better results from like digital stabilization, from
right.
Apple, Samsung, dare I say even BBK Group with Oppo.
Yeah. So, it maybe benefits their video and it definitely benefits their marketing.
I mean, it's super cool. And I've had a soft spot for these phones for a while. Of course, the software is, you know, a little wonky. I mean, it's not as slick as ColorOS, which is not as slick as OxygenOS, which is not as slick as, in my opinion, Pixel. But a lot of people argue with me about that. I want to be clear to the audience that I'm talking about current OxygenOS, not OnePlus 7 Pro OxygenOS, which was the best phone experience I've ever had in my life. We all regret and miss that, right? But
oh, yeah, big time. Yeah.
But look at these release dates. The 70 Pro Plus was September, and the 60 Pro Plus was January. And here we are again with April now for the 80. It's crazy how quickly they launch these things.
So that's literally 4 months, 3 months from January. That's
every
crazy.
Every 4 months. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you saw the display on this is now LTPO3. The previous one was LTPO2. The first one, the 60 last year was LTPO1. So they keep like just getting the latest of the latest that they can. It's crazy stuff. I don't know why they still call it Fun Touch OS, though. That is something.
Fun Touch OS.
Slightly wrong about that naming. But you know what's interesting? It's got a different OS in China called Origin OS Ocean. Origin OS Ocean.
Oh, really? Have you played with a Chinese version? And what are the differences?
No. I've only had the global models, and Fun Touch OS is, as I said, slightly less nice than Color OS, but not too offensive.
Okay. Not too bad.
Yeah, you know.
Could be worse.
But the big news I felt this past year for the X series from Vivo hasn't really been the cameras because they keep pushing the envelope there. It's more
they seem to be killing it in the camera department for sure.
That's definitely always been the case. That's kind of, I think, the X series raison d'etre. But I think what I'm seeing that I really didn't see from Vivo for a long time is wireless charging and this big fingerprint sensor. What it tells me is that we're going to see more from BBK Group with that fingerprint sensor because they've been doing optical pretty much across the board exclusively. It's interesting. We've never seen ultrasonic sensors or anything else but Samsung phones so far. Yep. And I think there might be another Vivo phone that has the large ultrasonic as well, like a mid-ranger.
Okay. It's weird that we haven't seen more phones with it because those started coming out like 3 or 4 years ago.
I know. It's so strange to me that we've been hearing from Qualcomm about this forever and seeing demos. Yeah. And this is finally happening. And even Samsung hasn't jumped into that.
Right.
So I'm wondering if it's a cost thing. Because, I mean, it's got to be pretty like third gen by now or something from Qualcomm, right? This technology?
Right. Yeah, you would think. I mean, even if it is a cost thing, I feel like on these, you know, $1,000 plus phones, they could make the jump, but maybe not.
They don't seem to have any reason not to, in my opinion. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's cool. Are you into it? Did you try to get one to play with? I can put you in touch with the right people if you're looking for one.
Oh, sure. That'd be great. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play with a modern Vivo phone, so that would be very cool.
Yeah, they're very interesting. Like, it's kind of feels like you're in a parallel universe, but you're still very clearly in the BBK group. But you know, it's like this
parallel BBK,
slightly different. Yeah, it's kind of puzzling. Honestly, I'm always kind of like, why don't you guys merge more? Like, you could be, you know, like you use a Realme phone. It's clearly ColorOS, just rebranded to Realme OS or whatever, Realme UI, I think they call it, right? You use OxygenOS.
Maybe unlike OnePlus, we'd be excited for Vivo to merge a little more with the BBK group.
Yeah, I think because they're just so far out there with their own charging and their own kind of variation on the OS. You know, what I was saying was that, like, if you use a current Oxygen OS phone, like the OnePlus 10 Pro, you're getting pretty much ColorOS reskinned, and we don't like that. It's worse, right? But at the same time, you can see how those three, Realme, Oppo, OnePlus, are kind of like trying to keep some sort of like centralized software. Yeah. You know, whereas Vivo is kind of like out in left field doing something. Nobody really knows. It's kind of like they're the wild child of the BBK group.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worse on OnePlus, but it still could be worse than it is now. I mean, it has gotten worse over the past few years, but it's not terrible.
No, I think it's, I mean, I personally find that people who complain about OxygenOS being, you know, I'm not going to buy a OnePlus phone anymore. Like, I'm like, come on, like, seriously, it's still really good. Like, it's true that it doesn't quite have the efficiency it used to have on the cheaper phones. Like, I remember running the first Nord, the original Nord, running the good OxygenOS, and you could not tell the difference between that and at the time, Snapdragon 865 or whatever. It was so fast, so optimized. And even I remember the first time I used a Nord N series, even though I didn't like the phone design, the software was like, oh my God. And it was only like a Snapdragon, what was it, 6 something, right? It was like 600 series something, 5G chip. Like, And I'm like, now the N20 5G that I have that I really like, that I reviewed recently, you can feel that you're running a 600 series chip. It's no longer
quite. It takes a toll.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas you compare it to the 10 Pro and you're like, okay, yeah, the 10 Pro totally is running circles around this, whereas it wasn't always the case before. So I think it's more of an optimization. What I really liked about the 7 Pro back in the day when that OxygenOS version came out that was so streamlined was that it felt like it could almost predict what I was going to do next. Like, I don't know how to explain to you. I'd be in Gmail, right? Scrolling, triaging my email, and it would keep up with me. And it felt like I could get in such a like rhythm that it almost felt like we were one, me and the device. Yeah. And the only time I've ever felt that before was on an iPhone.
Yeah. And that was around the same time as the switch to 120 hertz, right?
Yeah, I think the 7T or the 7 Pro was the first 90 hertz display from OnePlus.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And you're right, that also helped. But it just felt so slick. And I don't think I've felt that again since. I mean, the 8 was still pretty good, but the 9 kind of lost the plot a bit. And the 10C, the current 10 is great. It's fine. It's fast. It's fast enough. But if you compare it to what we used to have, it's not quite as telepathically fast. And I think with Vivo and with Oppo and Realme, it's the same. Because, you know, I think at the core, they're very similar OSs. Even though Color OS and Realme have, and the new Oxygen are much more close together than the Vivo version. Fun Touch or whatever. And then I don't know why they have a Chinese model of the OS for whatever reason. That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a little strange. I'd be interested to play with one and see how deep the differences go.
Well, we'll see if we can make that happen. The other big topic this is almost a week old now because I recorded on Wednesday last week, which was kind of halfway through the week. So the next day on Thursday, I think it was OnePlus revealed that they were making OnePlus Nord Buds for $40.
Yes.
And then they revealed that they were launching a slightly updated OnePlus Nord 2 called the OnePlus Nord 2T in Europe. And that really just has a faster wireless charging. I believe that's the only major difference. It's also more affordable by £30, which makes it about $450, which is like, oh, I just really want to have this phone here. I have the Nord 2, not 2T, and it's incredible. It's such a good phone. It's got OIS on the camera. It's got all the trimmings.
I think it's a good thing they're making it a little cheaper because given the minor upgrades, because they're about to see a lot more competition, at least if, you know, if it was in the US, they'd be seeing a lot more competition with, you know, the Pixel 6a coming up and phones like that. So I think that's a good thing. But
I agree.
While the news of the OnePlus Buds is about a week old, we can talk about the reviews now. And I've been using them for a couple of days and they are great. They're so good for $40.
Yeah. So I really love them too. And I'm really picky about my earbuds. Like, the case is a little clunky in my opinion. Like, I don't understand what's in there because it looks like it's about twice as big as it should be. And it doesn't have wireless charging. And the battery capacity is like, what, 30 hours for the case, 7 hours for the buds.
That's not too bad.
I mean, no, but because the case looks big.
Oh, yeah, sure. But I get that. I'm not sure I was expecting wireless charging at this price point.
No, I wasn't. But I'm saying, like, why is the case so big is what I'm asking.
Because they spent not much time making it.
Yeah, I don't know. No, so here's the thing, okay? I'm impressed with the price, particularly the sound quality, really great. I'm very picky about the sound tuning out of the box, and these sound really good out of the box. And on top of that, they give you some presets, plus a full-on EQ, in-device EQ that you can set up in the app, which is the holy grail. That's how you should do it. That's how Sony does it. We're going to talk about Sony's new headphones shortly. But that's, to me, the way you do it. You don't want to have to EQ your phone and your music app or because you switch devices. You want the EQ to stay with the buds, and you set it in the app, and it stays with the buds. And they haven't even done that with their Pro model, like the OnePlus Buds Pro or the OnePlus Buds Z series or even the original OnePlus Buds that are not wireless charging and not noise canceling at all, which I still love sound signature wise. The original Buds to me sound really great, even though they're not in-ear, they just kind of hang on the outside like the original AirPods, you know? Harder to get good sound through those. But I have not liked the OnePlus Buds sound signature other than the originals and this new, like out of the box. I've been able to tune them, especially the Z series, but here's the thing, Christian, that's weird, is Realme makes Buds and Oppo makes Buds. And they're all kind of the same, right? Like, I mean, the same sense that their phones are all kind of the same, right?
Yeah, sure.
Realme makes a pair of Buds called the Realme Buds 2, I think. And then they now have a Buds 3. And the Buds 3 are meh, but the Buds 2 have active noise canceling, have excellent sound signature out of the box, and cost something like $50.
Oh, really?
And the case is small, and the battery life is just as good. So I'm asking, it feels to me like this Nord Buds product is a budget product to match the Nord products, but they're making more profit on it than what Realme is doing with their product. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The Realme things, those Buds 2 that I have that I really like, the only thing they're missing to me to be like on par with AirPods Pro or any other proper high quality earbud is wireless charging. Everything else is there. Sound quality, size, weight, battery life, IP rating, and the fact that they're noise canceling for $50.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's great. If they were available here, they'd be killer.
But you can buy them on Amazon. So my point is like, why would you buy... And the same app works too. Like, you know what I'm saying? So like, if you have a third-party phone, you need to install the Hey Melody app from OnePlus. And I think what I'm saying is the Realme app it's a separate app, but it's the same, essentially the same app.
Same idea. Yeah.
So I'm wondering like where they're going. My criticism is simply coming from having used other BBK ecosystem earbuds that like, I know they can do better for the price, but ultimately, the only thing that's missing there, other than the weirdly sized case for me, is the noise canceling, which I was kind of hoping, even if they have like a budget quality noise canceling in there, something.
Yeah, that would have been nice. The isolation isn't that great either, so something along those lines would have been helpful. But yeah, I'm still not sure they can be beat for the price range, at least in the US.
The sound is unreal. Like, I am so blown away by the sound quality out of the box, and then the fact that you can even EQ it and store an EQ setting, or multiple, in fact, EQ settings in the earbuds and select them. It's like, wow. Just wow. Yeah. Right?
And they're super comfortable. They're really easy to wear.
They are. They're a little bulky, too. That's the other thing. It's like, I feel like even at the cheap grade Chinese-made earbuds today, they're all kind of pretty slim stem type, like AirPod style. Yeah. And they all, you know, have these kind of sleek pillow-looking cases that are rounded. This is like a big round, like squarish kind of box. And the, you know, the stems are these kind of, I feel like, you know what, you get ice
cream.
They're
a bit blocky. Yeah.
You get the lollipop ice cream sticks and you cut like the, if you cut a piece of wood at the end, that's what I mean, they're a little bulky, but when you wear them, you don't notice. They're super light they're super comfortable. Yeah. So
you can take them running. They fit in well. They don't fall out.
Cool. I didn't try running with them yet, but I'm very impressed with sound quality. And for that alone, I say 100%. I would say even wait for a little bit till they get discounted for like Memorial Day or whatever is next. And I don't think
30 bucks.
Yeah, I don't think they'll discount them for Memorial Day. But if you can pick those up for $30, even for $40, you know, absolutely. Yeah. And the final thing I want to say is, what is it that's so hard for companies to get the sound signature right? How is it such a variation? Like, you get the OnePlus Buds Pro, which are their best buds, and they sound like crap to me. And I can't tune them right to sound better because there's no EQ capability built in. There is audio tuning where it can, you know, measure your ears, but that doesn't sound right either when I run it. So I'm like, how is it that they have such a disparity? I think it's what it is they have different factories in China, different ODMs that are making these for them, and they pick the one they want and they repackage it. And it's not really about the sound quality. And some companies are hitting the right sound quality. And for somebody like you, you know, and I, who are really into audio, I think that we notice this disparity and it makes no sense. It's like a complete lack of consistency and branding across this product line from an audio signature perspective, right?
Well, that's just the thing. I think that we notice it, but I don't think most people notice it. And honestly, I would definitely notice it, but most of the time when I'm using earbuds, I'm listening to podcasts or something anyway. If I'm listening to music, I'm wearing big old over-ear headphones. So...
Yeah, but for me, it's like when I go to the coffee shop, you know, I go for a 10-minute walk and I want to listen to my music. And I want, if I listen to voice,
I mean, it's not an excuse.
It's like, I want it to be right. It doesn't have to be as good as my, you know, Sony XM4s that I'm wearing right now, which I've also tuned, or as my Beyer Dynamics that I wear at my desk all day. But I expect to have something in the ballpark because otherwise I wouldn't. For me, it's like, if it's just listening to voice, then I might as well just, you know, use anything.
True.
Anything can get voice right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I also think there's a difference. I mean, we've seen this a ton over the past, you know, however many, 15 years or so. There seems to be a difference between what people who are into music want and the average person who wants, like, boosted bass.
Oh my God!
The kind of smiley face curve on the EQ.
It's a pandemic, I swear. Like, I feel like nobody that is young today, and I don't want to sound like that get off my lawn person, because I'm pretty young at heart. But I felt this way forever. Like, it's not a new thing. Even when in the 90s, when my friends were listening to the Discman, I was like appalled at the sound signature of most of the headphones and earbuds.
Yeah.
What is with the space heavy crap? Like. Why? It sounds so much better when it's just go to a concert, listen to a band, even an electronic band, and then that's what you want to replicate. More or less than that is not the reality. Like, I don't know how it is that people can't understand that. And I think what it is we have an entire generation that was raised on the iPod or even on the iPhone, and I should say the smartphone more generally, that has only ever known compressed audio, right? Number one. And poorly compressed audio at that, because I don't have any issues with audio compression, lossy compression. It can be done really well.
Yep.
And it's very efficient and it uses very sound principles of psychoacoustics to make it happen. But I have problems with the fact that a lot of the material people listen to is crap in terms of the way it's encoded. But on top of that, they're listening with, you know, these wild EQ curves that are not representative of reality, and they get used to it. And then you present them with something that's good and right, and they're like, "Ooh, this sounds flat and boring." And I don't get it. I'm like, how is it that you can't break out of that?
Yeah, I'm not sure it is the old iPods, because those earbuds were not bass heavy. They were
tinny. They're pretty good. But I'm thinking more like, you know, Mega Bass on the Sony Discman. That was the beginning of the downward slope. Yeah. People would turn that on.
And early Beats.
Anything that says loudness or mega bass, or back in the days of wired earbuds and headphones, Sony made some. Remember the Budokan headphones?
I do not remember. They were like these
really big DJ style closed headphones for Walkman.
Okay.
And they were bass heavy on purpose. The idea was to see if, like, they were for people who wanted that extra bass because there was no noise canceling and they were in a loud subway car or something. So it had the insulation of being closed headphones, and they were only sold in Japan. They're very hard to find on eBay now. But the point is, that was the beginning. I blame Sony for this, because they made the first headphones with exaggerated bass in the headphone. And then on top of that, they equipped all their Walkman and Discman with Megabass. And at least Apple had the decency of giving us the iPod with a flat output, right? There was no bass setting whatsoever. I actually kind of miss the original iPods earbuds. You remember? That design is, to me, way nicer looking than what we got after that.
than AirPods?
I actually think Apple should do a classic pair that is wireless.
That would be cool. Those would sell. Those would be great. I'd buy those.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting. A lot of people don't understand that this current set of earbuds we all have now that have the little rubber tips.
Yeah.
This is a new thing. Like up to including the mid-2000s with the iPod, it was this concept of the earbuds would sit on the outside on the conch of your ear, kind of like the original OnePlus Buds, kind of like the original AirPods and EarPods. And that was the way it was done. So then they decided, hey, we need to isolate things a little more. So they put the little rubber tips on. And then they said, oh, that's not good enough. Let's give them noise cancellation, which I think is all great. This is progress. But I feel like we're missing out on this experience of semi-open earbuds.
Yeah, you can get them. They're around, semi-open earbuds.
Yeah, I mean, if you want some right now that are still available, the OnePlus Buds sound phenomenal, the original out of the box, if that's what you're looking for. And if you're looking for a no-brainer pair of ones with tips that sound super, I mean, even better than the OnePlus Buds original, I would say, are the Nord Buds. Those Nord Buds are just gold.
Yeah, they're great. They're so good. Yep, for the money, highly recommend.
So the last thing that OnePlus launched alongside the Buds and the Nord 2T was, okay, can we talk about this for a second? Can you roll your eyes with me about what is going on at OnePlus and the product line expanding?
Oh my goodness.
It's bad enough that they gave us a CE last year, OnePlus Nord CE.
So the CE is a downgrade from the Nord 2.
So wait, the original CE is a downgrade for the Nord original, and it's an upgrade from the N series got in the US. And then they made a Nord 2, so they made a CE 2. And now they're making a C2 Lite, which I guess is like a Nord, it's like a Nord N series for the US, but for the rest
of the
world.
It's a 2x downgrade from the base model Nord 2.
So it's basically a Nord N series for the rest of the world.
Yeah, seems like it.
Have we seen specs for this?
I'm not sure we've really seen specs. Oh yeah, we've seen specs for it. Or are these just rumored? No, we've got specs. I think it was announced today.
Okay.
The day we're recording. So there's a Snapdragon 695 5G in there. There's either 6 gigs or 8 gigs of
RAM.
Sounds
like the N20 5G already.
Yeah.
Does it have AMOLED or does it have LCD?
Let's see. It's got an LCD 120 hertz display.
Okay.
Yeah. So 6 gigs or 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage, and a triple camera. Somehow, even 3 years after we've been hating it, they've still got a 2-megapixel macro camera in there.
They have an ultra-wide, though.
No. They've got a standard 64-megapixel wide camera, and they've got a 2-megapixel depth camera.
Okay, so guess what? We've completely narrowed down what this is. This is a OnePlus Nord N20 5G, the one we just got, but without AMOLED and with 120Hz LCD. The specs, I think, are same chip, same cameras. Does it have 33-watt or 65-watt charging?
Good question. It's got 33-watt charging.
Yeah, exactly the same. It's our Nord N20 equivalent for foreign global
rebranded
markets.
Is it the same design?
I don't know. I haven't seen a picture yet.
It looks a bit different, but the guts are there.
I mean, the design we have here is really, really hot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't understand it, though. It's like Oppo and the entire BBK group have so many phone variations right now. I don't think we need to add OnePlus phone variations to that. Like, I kind of like the idea that we have the high end, the Nord, the middle, and then the N series, and I guess the CE series at the bottom. But now they've made it worse because we have the Ace in China, which, as you know, is exactly the same as the Realme GT Neo 3, which, by the way, I have, and it is... that phone. That phone is everything you need in a phone. It's $350 and you get a Dimensity 8100 IMX766 with a YS on the main sensor, which, as we know, is a delightfully well-tuned sensor and camera package. And we get 150-watt charging.
Yeah.
And
it's killer.
It has those racing stripes.
Yeah.
It looks super hot. So if you want to get essentially a global version of the OnePlus Ace, that's the one. But I don't know.
I don't see the naming getting any better in the near future. I think they've well and truly embraced this.
100%. I think it's part of the opification of OnePlus. It's like, let's start bombarding the market with different variants of OnePlus phones. And, you know, Pete Lau is probably doing like, whoa, evil laugh.
Raining
I don't
money.
Think he is. But anyway, I don't know. I'm a little confused, but I'm glad that OnePlus is still bringing us some kick-ass products like this. These Nord Buds, you know, for all their small, minor faults, are delivering on what's most important: price and sound quality and battery life. So
they're a diamond in the rough for me. Like, I haven't been real impressed with previous generation OnePlus Buds. I mean, some of them have been pretty good, but they've all had like intense competition in their price range.
100%.
But these just don't really. They're the option if you want sub $50 true wireless buds. I mean, you can get the Realme ones you mentioned on Amazon, I guess.
Yeah, but again, those are not widely available. Like, where these are you going to be able to find anywhere in the US?
Yeah, these are the way to go.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Have you seen or played before with any Infinix phones?
I have not. So I'm curious to hear about your experience with these, because I know you've used a bunch of them.
So this is my like fourth or fifth Infinix phone in the last year. And I've done everything from like really cheap, like $150 phones from them, which, you know, had all the faults you'd expect a $150 phone to have, all the way to like their flagship equivalents, which, you know, think more like $400 phone.
Right.
And so I've seen everything from, you know, high refresh rate AMOLED with a decent 4G MediaTek processor, like a high-end Helio, with tons of RAM and storage, with 108 megapixel with OIS and a 5X telephoto folded periscope with OIS, you know, and like 80 watt charging or whatever. That's the highest end I've seen from them. And it was amazing. I mean, as amazing as it can be to have a phone that, you know, has a 4G chip these days.
Sure.
That's still a 12 nanometer chip.
Amazing with caveats.
Yeah. But I think the software is kind of the weak spot. I feel like, you know, they're not terrible. It's not unusable. It's just, you know, they do the thing Apple does, which also Huawei does on their current non-GMS phones, which is you swipe on the left to get notification, you swipe on the right to get your quick settings.
Okay.
And you can't change that behavior. And if you're an iPhone user, that makes sense. But if you're an Android user, that becomes a pain in the butt really fast. And you can't replace the launcher. The launcher is locked out. Even though these are not Chinese phones, these are sold in Africa, India, and other markets that are, you know, using GMS and perfectly happy with the Google stuff.
Yeah. So that's not great, because I feel like most of their customers are coming from other Android phones. I mean, the non-familiar experience of adopting Apple-like software is
The strange. Other thing that they systematically lack, unless specified in the name, is NFC. So they have NFC versions. Like, I don't know about this Note 12 that we're talking about, but previously, I think the Note 11 last year had an NFC, Note 11 NFC, and it was exactly the same, but it had NFC. And even that super high-end one that I told you about, high-end for them, that $400, you know, with a really good camera system, that was no NFC. And I'm like, ah. Oh.
Yeah.
I feel like annoying. I'm using a Moto G series with no NFC, you know? Not acceptable. But okay, so this Note 12.
Well, I've seen a lot of names in the Note 12 series, but no Note 12 NFC. So
I don't think it's out yet. But so here's what my take is on the Note 12. Okay, picture this. You've played with the OnePlus Nord N20 5G. It's essentially the same experience in terms of it's a 60 hertz 1080p AMOLED. It is a MediaTek, and the one I have is the, not the VIP, which is a much nicer version. This is the G96 Helio model that I have. It has a single camera on the back that's any use. you know, and it's like a 50 megapixel non-OIS camera. It has then a depth sensor and a, they call it an AI sensor. It's a, are you ready for this? 0.1 megapixel camera used for, we don't know what, because there's already a depth sensor.
I was going to ask, what's that for?
I'm not even sure it's connected to anything. But anyway, the point is the phone looks really good. That's the one thing about Infinix is their phones lately have been looking really hot. The previous model, their first 5G phone, which runs like a Dimensity 700 or something, that one looked like an Oppo Find X3 Pro knockoff with a leather back and the little camera bump that it was sloped. It was kind of cool. But this one looks really hot. It's all plastic, no NFC, beautiful AMOLED, 60 hertz, 1080p. Performance is good, lots of RAM and storage, micro SD support, stereo speakers, and it has a Z-axis or X-axis linear motor for haptic feedback. So it actually feels really high-end when you type away on it and stuff. And I have no complaints. Everything works. The camera is, you know, it's 50 megapixels. Okay. It's not spectacular. I think it's like that really cheap Samsung sensor that's doing the rounds, the 0.64 micron, small pixel size, but it still bins them 4-to-1. So, I mean, it's, here's the kicker in the cincher. It's $199.
Yeah.
And at that price, other than the NFC, I can pretty much forgive everything else. You know, it has 33 watt charging. It has, you know, like a huge battery. It lasts forever. It looks good. It does a job. By the way, I tried it on AT&T and T-Mobile, and it works on 4G LTE like a charm on both.
Oh, yeah? Cool. Yep. Wow. $199.
It's not sold here, but if you're looking for like a, I don't know, a backup phone to hold you over, if you lose your phone or drop your phone and you need to buy a new one, but you have a busy time and you have this phone all ready to go that you can slide your SIM into, this is it. Like, it'll hold you over and you're just fine for a week or two.
Wow. Yeah. So this is not the, this is the second highest model in the Note 12 line, right?
Correct.
The G96.
Yeah. G96. Cool. And the VIP is crazy. It has 120 watt charging. It's supposedly the world's slimmest 120 watt.
I saw that.
Capable phone, and it has 108 megapixel camera, which may or may not have OIS, because I've noticed Infinix is really bad at giving specs. Like, even they give me this under embargo, and I made a YouTube unboxing video under embargo. I didn't have any of the f-stops for the cameras. So it turns out, get this 50 megapixel camera on this phone that I have, the Note 20 G96, is f over 1.6.
Oh, wow.
Like, what? What? So not too shabby, right? Like, I mean, honestly, I don't think they'll ever sell these phones in the US, because they're really targeting developing countries, right? And Africa is one of the biggest markets right now. And this phone in Africa would deliver incredible value. They don't need NFC there, because a lot of their payment solutions are QR code based. Mm-hmm. So I think these phones are never going to come to us. But it's nice to see what's happening out there. I'm always impressed by budget phones, because it's like, you know, you can have a flagship in your pocket and have everything in the kitchen sink all day long and get really jaded really fast. It's not until you go down and start using a Moto G or a TCL 30 series or a Nord N series that you realize, okay, this is what the rest of the world is experiencing. And now with this, it's like I can also experience what a lot of my audience in India, for example, might be using, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody has the kind of money that we have to buy phones for $1,000 every day. So.
Sure. Yeah. It looks like great value. I mean, yeah, like I said, I've never played with an Infinix phone, but it looks solid.
It's pretty interesting. I'm not quite sure why Infinix has reached out to us, media in the US, a bunch of us, to send us these phones when they don't sell them here.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with trying them out. And honestly, the imaging performance on these phones hasn't been too sucky. I haven't really had a chance to try the Infinix camera very much yet, because I've got a bunch of other phones. Anybody who's been paying attention to my Instagram knows that I received a shipment here of a bunch of heavy hitters, and I'm really into them, like the the Honor Magic 4 Pro and the Xiaomi 12 Pro. And what else do I have? Oh, that crazy GT Stripe Neo 3 from Realme with 150-watt charging. That has, by the way, a Sony IMX766 with a YS on it. So that's a pretty great 50 megapixel. Yeah. And it has ultra-wide. So at least you have
that. You got a lot of cameras to test out.
Yeah. So I don't know when I'll have time for that now. But moving on, let's talk headphones. We were talking about music here earlier with the Nord Buds. I have only had a chance to wear these briefly at the summit last week and listen to them.
I was there with you. Yeah.
And they are lovely. And my only gripe with the new Sony WH-1000XM5 as a frequent traveler who's currently wearing the XM4s is that they don't fold up on themselves.
Yep. That's absurd to me. That seems like the biggest miss, because everything else about these headphones seems great. I mean, like you, I've only been able to look at them very briefly, but what? Why no folding? There's got to be a reason behind it.
And I don't understand how half of the reviewers don't even mention it. It's like, are they using these at home? Because that's fine. I totally get it. But it's like, you know, Engadget review. It's a good review. It's the one I'm linking in my show notes because, you know, I think it's the best in terms of like getting in the detail of sound quality and noise canceling features and stuff. It really covered all the point. And Billy, who read the review, I worked with them at Engadget a decade ago. I really trust his judgment, like in terms of this, the sonic signature that you and I like the kind of more neutral, more pure, more flat. And so, but he doesn't even mention that they don't fold. He didn't try them on an airplane. I'm sorry, but if you're going to test noise canceling headphones that are the reference, the mother of all headphones today, you're going to have to take them on an airplane, even though we know it's going to kill. I'm sure it's going to be better than the previous ones.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They kind of set the bar. I mean, yeah, everything else about it, even just the design is great. I love the new look. I mean, they've stuck with the old design
great,
for like,
right?
what, like 5 years or something. They look awesome, but it's form over function here.
It's just so bizarre. Like, I don't get it. I want to, I mean, I'm going to get a pair to review, so hang tight, folks. But sonically, I'm sure they're going to be an improvement even over what we have. That's what everybody's saying.
Tons of features.
The noise canceling is even better. Battery life is about the same. Phone calls apparently have massively improved, and they had already massively improved the 4 over the 3. But the 5 is apparently has like 4 beam-forming microphones or something crazy like that.
Double the microphones. I think it anyway, has, does it have 8 microphones?
Something total, like I think it's only using 4 of them for voice calls, but I mean, I'm sure it's great. The point is, for me who travels a lot, it's like, I don't want to... What am I going to do when I want to stow those away? Like, I use that carrying case that my fours come with, and I fold them and put them in there all the time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, I get you. That said, as someone who's been using AirPods Max to travel with, maybe they'll be not so bad for me.
Yeah, you'll probably be okay. That's what you're wearing right now. But I don't know. I feel like it's a miss. And maybe they did it because of this 2 years of COVID, and they realized that a lot of people are wearing them inside, and less people are traveling. And they still sell the M4s at $50 less. So maybe that's kind of where they're steering them, right?
That seems a bit short-sighted, but maybe.
And I think it's highly influenced by the Max that you're wearing. I think Apple did their thing, and Sony's like, well, we need to compete with that. We can't not compete with Apple. What I think is completely strategically wrong. What I think they should have done is continue sticking with what they do best. And the travel stuff is their corner. They stole that from Bose, and Bose has no chance of catching up at this point. Even if Bose makes better noise canceling features and better performance at noise canceling than Sony, which I have no doubt they could do, Bose will never, ever, 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 trust me on this, achieve the level of sonic quality that Sony has.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible. I've never heard a Bose product where I was like, the sound quality is good. It's not horrible. It's good enough for most people. But in my opinion, it can't even touch anything remotely as good as what you're wearing.
It's not the accurate frequency response that we look for.
Yeah. I bought a pair of AirPods Max And I was really impressed. I returned them because I couldn't justify keeping them because I have these and I spent my own money on them. But
spent half your savings.
I love them. They're great. They sound fantastic. Yeah. So
They're awesome headphones, but also bugs me they don't fold up.
Yeah, true. So tell me about this new DJI drone. Help me position this. I'm a little confused with the lineup because I know there's the Mavic series and then there's the Mini and...
And there's the Air in the middle.
Right. So tell me, this is in the Mini. So this is a sub 250 gram drone?
Yeah, it's 249, like the previous generation ones. So yeah, I mean, it's great. I loved it. I used it for a couple of weeks before I reviewed it. It was a lot of fun. It's like perfect for those who are interested in a drone, but like not super enthusiast or, you know, don't need something super high end. They just want something to play with, basically.
But that's what I've been sold when I bought my Mini, right? The whole point was you use your phone, the remote is simple, it's easy to fly, it's lightweight, you don't need a permit. So why is it double the price?
Well, so the highest end model with the display built into the remote is double the price.
Okay.
There's cheaper models that, of course, they send the reviewers the higher end models to review, but there's a controller with you put your phone in and that kind of thing, and that those are cheaper as well, and probably the best option for most people who are going for the Mini anyway. But yeah, I mean, it's got a solid camera. It's got OcuSync 3 now, which means that you'll get up to 12 kilometers of range, which is crazy.
Holy
I mean,
crap.
The range on these things is getting amazing. So that's like 7.5 miles, I think, something like that.
I'm afraid when I can't see my drone 500 yards away. Like,
I know. It took me a couple flights to kind of get over that hump of fear. But yeah, it's great. It's got like a 34-minute flight time, and you can buy an upgraded battery separately, which gets you a 47-minute flight time, which is really good.
But what about the weight? Are you still below 249 grams?
You're at 249, yeah.
Oh, wow. So they made a lighter, larger capacity battery. Crazy.
Yeah. I believe it's the same weight. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong about that. But I think... Given the whole point of the Mini is to kind of remain under that 250 gram weight limit for drone registration.
So why is it called Pro? Because there's no DJI Mini 3. There's a Mini 2,
yeah,
which replaced my Mini, and then there's a Mini 3 Pro.
Yep, no idea. No idea why it's called Pro. I hope they release a 3 standard that's kind of a similar price point as the 2. Because it is, even the base model of the 3 Pro is a bit more expensive than the 2.
Okay.
So it would be great if they did a 3 standard, but we'll see.
Okay. And so...
I'm not sure they will.
The camera performance must be significantly better than mine or the 2 then.
Yeah, the camera performance is great. 48 megapixel sensor, you get like 4K 60 footage. It looks good. I did a bunch of recording and looked great in my test.
I saw your review, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, and the camera was great. Probably one of the biggest upgrades of the 3 Pro is that it has obstacle detection, unlike the 2.
So is that what those two front cameras are for?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So it has obstacle detection forwards and above, not below. So you're less likely to crash it. I still managed to crash it into a tree, but you know, you're less likely.
Did you damage anything? Was it... A small crash.
No, it turned out all right. No, it was fine. Nothing a couple propeller replacements can't fix.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's not too bad. Well, that's what drones are for, guys. Okay. Like, I'm sorry, but I've never crashed mine. But I mean, even without crashing it, like just, you know, landing it on gravel and stuff, like you get scuff marks. Like it picks the propellers, pick up dirt and like trash it around. And, you know, you got to blow air on the gimbal from time to time if you fly it in dusty places because it gets gunked up. And I've really loved my Mini. I just only use it to shoot stills mostly of the cars I review when I take them to a nice location. Not really good at flying. Like, I wish there was a follow mode. Like, I know there is a, you know, I use a circle around mode on mine.
Yeah.
But a mode where you could do the same by tapping on an object. And then you, like, if you're in a car, you drive it, it would just follow you down the road.
Yeah, well, you need the 3 Pro because it has a follow mode.
It has the follow mode? Ah,
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to upgrade.
Might be. Yeah, I really loved reviewing it. I mean, I've reviewed drones before, but this is kind of, it was a lot of fun for me. So I asked for some more review units. I'll be getting the FPV, which I'm super excited about, which is the one that you put on a VR headset.
Oh, the and then, super fast one? Oh, yeah.
That's going to be fun.
That sounds scary. I don't think I've got the hand-eye coordination to handle that properly.
I won't be weaving it around trees. Don't worry.
Yeah, you guys should check out Christian's review. I'll put a link in the show notes, especially the video. It's just gorgeous. It's flying over Santa Cruz. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
So check it out. Santa Cruz, California. Lovely little town.
Santa Cruz. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we've covered everything. Obviously, we're going to have Apple coming up soon. What do you really expect at this? Do you know what we're getting? You're like me, an Apple fanboy. So what do you think?
Apple fanboy? Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, obviously, we'll get, it's a WWDC, so it's their developer conference. We'll get the kind of software updates for all their platforms. I'm curious to see what else we get. If we get like a Mac update, maybe a Mac Mini or a MacBook Air.
I'm wondering if we're going to get, do you think we're going to get an M2 chip since it's a developer conference?
I don't know. It's hard to know. I think they'll probably announce an M2 at the same time as they announce computers running M2, because they didn't, before they were switching to ARM-based processors and they had to announce the M1 before, all that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I think probably not. I think we won't get any new Macs. I could be wrong, but what I'm hoping for is an update about maybe VR stuff. If we get some like developer-focused VR updates, that could give some hints about what's coming in the pipeline for Apple AR and VR stuff. We'll see.
100%. I feel like I want to see a new MacBook Air in the funky colors, but yeah, I'm not expecting to be more than just an M1. I'm expecting basically the same guts, but a revised design to be more fun and funky. That would be pretty cool.
Okay. Rumors are M2. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried is that we're not going to get anything, because when they finally launch the MacBook Air, it's going to have the M2 chip. And it's probably going to outdo some of the M1 MacBook Pros.
Oh, yeah.
Performance-wise, which is going to vex a lot of people.
Yeah, but that's kind of on them, because the MacBook lineup naming scheme is weird, because they still have the standard M1 MacBook Pro with last generation design.
Oh, right, with the touch bar. Yeah.
Because the upgraded, no touch bar, I don't think, but it's still last generation, like not edge-to-edge display kind of design. And then their base model, new generation MacBook Pro.
The 14.
Has an M1 Pro.
Correct.
So, yeah, maybe they rename that middle MacBook Pro to just MacBook or something, I don't know.
Oh, like, remember back they did that with the... they did a MacBook version of the MacBook Pro, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Anyway, we'll find out. So stay tuned for that, folks. We'll be covering that on the show, of course. And Christian, do you want to tell folks where they can find you on the internet, your various social media handles, tell everybody who you write for and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So you can find me on Twitter at CDeLooper. Good luck spelling it. It's CDeLooper. Got to do the hard R for the Americans.
R.
And you can find all my reviews at bgr.com. So,
yeah, check out Christian's work, folks. It's great stuff. You know where to find me on the internet. I'm at TankGirl. That's TNKGRL on Twitter and Instagram. Think of the comic book character TankGirl and drop all the vowels. And if you want to speak with me and Christian about this show and comment or whatever, try Twitter is probably the best way to go. Instagram is not as easy for commenting and stuff. So, but check out my Instagram for pretty pictures of phones, pretty pictures of cars, all taken with phones, etc. And you know, there's a couple of YouTube channels that have related content to the podcast. So like visual content for the podcast, so youtube.com/mobiletechpodcast and youtube.com/mobiletechmore. The former is kind of like phones and audio and wearables, kind of the core content. And then the more channel is more like car tech, home tech, you know, travel tech, that kind of stuff. So you know how YouTube works. Like, subscribe, tell your friends, click the little notification icon, comment, and you can comment about the podcast too if you want to talk about the show. No problem at all. And consider helping out because, you know, I can't really do this podcast without your support. So there's a Patreon for that, patreon.com/tankgirl. That's patreon.com/TNKGRL. I want to thank all my patrons for helping and being there and supporting. Basically, you get a bunch of perks there. One of the perks is you get to watch this podcast on video before it gets publicly released on audio. So you want to see Christian and I on a video feed. Subscribe to the Patreon. There's a tier for that there. There's also a tier to join my Discord server. You can chat with me. There's a bunch of stuff there. If you can help out, consider it. I'd appreciate it. And if you don't like Patreon, I totally get it. That's cool. There's another way you can help financially. There is a PayPal link in the show notes. You can click through there, buy me a coffee or something. That'd be really nice. It's a one-time thing, no strings attached. So consider that. And of course, I also want to thank Audible. They've been our sponsor forever now, and they're great. I love reading, and I like to have books read to me because I'm on my computer all day, and by being in front of this screen, my eyes get tired, and the last thing I really want is to hold a Kindle or a book at the end of the day. So I just put headphones on or earbuds, and I just chill back and listen to a book being read, and it's just magical. And not only that, but you know, they're the number one platform for audiobooks. So they have a huge selection of books. They have books read by the authors. They have these epic long readings. If you really want to do like a road trip or something, it's great. They have short content. They have podcasts. It's just all around a great place to be. So if you want to help out another way, there is a way to join Audible that supports me and supports Audible. And the URL for that is audibletrial.com/mobiletech. That's audibletrial.com/mobiletech. You get a 30-day free trial. You get to keep a book at the end of the free trial if you don't stay. But I think once you try it out, you're going to stay, because if you're like me, a bookworm, and you love your books, you're going to find it really nice to have them read to you. It's really affordable. So check it out if you're not already an Audible member. Maybe if you are, send a friend my way or something. Use that code audibletrial.com/mobiletech. So I want to thank Audible yet again for being our longtime sponsor. And I want to thank you, Christian, for being my guest on the show this week.
Of course. Thank you. I appreciate it. A lot of fun.
Absolutely. We'll have you on the show again at some point in the future for sure. And folks, you know we'll have another show next week. So stay tuned for that. Until then, cheers, everybody.
See ya.
This has been the Mobile Tech Podcast with Tank Girl, proudly presented by worldpodcasts.com. You can visit us online at mobiletechpodcast.com.